Welcome, my friends, to Psalm 1. We stand on blessed ground at one of the most beloved songs in the history of the world. We stand at a crossroads, for the Psalter opens with a rather uncommon psalm with two paths. Psalm 1 is not praise, nor is it lament or even prayer. It is a wisdom psalm, an observation with insight meant for instruction. Put the words to music, and I hear a folk song, the sort of tune that carries profound wisdom and great simplicity, passed down for generations, and sung with a voice that bears insight and integrity. I found stirring renditions of Psalm 1 by Sons of Korah and poor Bishop Hooper. St. Jerome called Psalm 1 the divine preface to the Psalter, ordained by the Spirit to prepare us for what's ahead. We stand now at the trailhead of a grand journey, and our guide calls us to look and consider the way ahead. For right from the start, two paths diverge. And to help us choose the right path, he calls our attention to those who tread upon each of them, to see their walk and consider their destination. We begin at verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. The psalm opens, and the Psalter with it, with blessed. It's a rich word in Hebrew, chock full of meaning and feeling, a bright and joyous word. Blessed can be loosely translated, how happy, but it also carries the sense of receiving a gift from God. It's the sort of happiness that comes when you get the perfect gift. Better yet, when you recognize your whole life as a gift. The word is plural here, as in so blessed. Just look at how happy that guy is. Now the psalm opens with blessed, then describes all that the blessed one does not do. Odd, but clever. The psalmist is catching our eyes, looking down the wrong path, heading us off. The blessed one. You won't find him walking with the wicked, standing with sinners, or sitting with mockers. Now, it doesn't say the blessed man avoids the very presence of sinners. Rather, this man simply does not walk in step with. The Hebrew there indicates he doesn't take their advice, doesn't march to their drum. Now look further down the road and notice the poetic brilliance of verse 1. Three parallel phrases progress in steps down the wicked path. Walk, stand, sit. Walking is listening, coming alongside. Standing is acceptance, fitting in. The Hebrew word also means statue, fixed in place. The sinner stands obstinate. Finally, sitting is entrenched. In Israel, sitting was the posture of the teacher. The mocker sits as if he is professor to all who pass, ridiculing the godly and scoffing their wisdom. Blessed is that rare one who does not. Theirs is another path. Verse 2. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. Delight is a great word, similar to joy, but with more wonder in the eyes, like a kid holding a sparkler for the first time. Delight captures the attention, lightens the heart, and fascinates the mind. And delight is always taken in something, a hobby or interest, a beautiful curiosity about something. We all have them. I love numbers. I add, subtract, and multiply for pure fun. Once, when playing scorekeeper for a card game, I asked if anyone else got a little rush of joy when numbers add up to an answer. They looked at me like I enjoyed the taste of sand, but I love it. Now, the very useful thing about delight is that it is a stunningly effective path to learning and discovery, perhaps the most effective. Rote memorization and enforced homework work, but they're not nearly as effective. Give a child a love for reading, and he's set. Teach her the joy of numbers, and she's unstoppable. Here at the outset of Psalms, the poet is not commanding us to enforced Bible study drills. He's inviting us to delight in God's word. I know, it says law, but the Hebrew word for law is Torah. Its root meaning is instruction, but its broader meaning is law, direction, and also refers to the first five books of and the foundation to the whole Bible. The one who created us gave us a way to live, instructions for life, Torah. So a fuller definition of Torah is God's way and God's will for us as revealed in God's word. And often the Psalms are just that, meditations on and reflections of Torah. Did you ever know someone who loves poring over instructions for a gadget or software or machine until their skill with it is amazing? That's the idea here. The blessed one loves poring over God's instruction book for life, meditating on it day and night. The Hebrew word for meditate is the same word for chewing the cud. Picture a cow or camel. To meditate on words is to roll them around in your mind, consider various perspectives, and hear them over and again with fresh ears. That's the brilliance of setting words to rhythm and meter. I listened today to Psalm 1 set to music, and the refrain stirred in my mind long after. Do you see the blessed one upon their path, delighting, meditating? In verse 3, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. The picture is beautiful and vivid, a great tree spreading wide and thriving in health. In the Bible, trees are the imagery of life and of life's source. This blessed person is like a grand tree, healthy and strong, because its roots have found the steady water of a stream. It bears fruit, offering nourishment to others, fulfilling its purpose. Its leaf does not wither. Stout leaves come from nourished roots, the result of all that delighting and meditating. Whatever they do prospers. Do you know what it's like to plant something, a tree or a garden, and just hope for the best? Yet some folks have a knack for it. In America, we call it a green thumb, that magic touch that makes plants thrive. Of course, it isn't magic. It's knowledge and skill diligently applied. This blessed person in Psalm 1 has a green thumb for life. The skills learned from God's word make life prosper. In verse 4, the music turns sharply. It lowers, darkens. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. The imagery is again both vivid and concise, almost jarring. It pictures a threshing floor after grain is harvested. Great bundles of grain have been gathered, but much of it is not consumable. Threshing is the process of separating with the help of the wind. The farmer takes a large winnowing fork and lifts the grain into the air, tossing it into a breeze. The good stuff, the edible grain, has more weight, more substance. It falls. The worthless stuff, the chaff, is light. Think corn husks, but smaller. The wind catches the chaff and carries it away, separated and gone. As we gaze upon the two paths before us, the psalmist calls us to see it. The fruit of righteous living has weight, substance that endures. The Bible calls that glory. But the works of the godless bear no enduring fruit, no eternal weight or lasting substance. The Bible calls that vanity. In God's threshing floor, they are chaff. Verse 5. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. The psalm now lifts our gaze to the distant future, to the end of all paths, and the very last chapters of the whole Bible. Judgment. This is God's threshing floor, and here the wicked will not stand. Did you notice the echo of verse 1? Sinners had their stand, but here at judgment, in the assembly of the righteous, the great multitude of joyous worshipers gathered and washed clean by the blood of Christ, here the sinners cannot stand. And the final verse draws us back again to the fork in the road, the separating of the two paths. Verse 6. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Look upon the two paths. See how many travel the one and how few the other. Jesus takes up this very image in his most famous sermon. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. The way to life may be difficult, but look closely. The Lord watches over it. So what about you? Which path will you take? Don't tell me. Answer to yourself. This is your journey. To quote Robert Frost, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.